Anyone get an outline this evening? You didn't. The outlines were handed out, so if you didn't get one, if you hand, we'll be sure you get one of those. The lesson this evening is a continuation, obviously, you can see from last Lord's Day evening. It just happened, you know, this particular chapter lends itself to a, I always feel, just an easy outline, because he breaks it down into all the topics for us. Paul begins, and I put that in your notes from last week's lesson, but Paul begins by addressing Titus himself. He said, you. And so, Titus, this is what I want you to do. And then second, instruct the aged men in these things. Next, instruct the aged women in certain things. Then also have the aged women admonish the younger women in certain areas that are listed in the text. So today, or this evening, we'll take the next three, exhorting the young men, then the bondservants, and then teaching all of us, all of the above, and that's been included. It's interesting, I don't think I'm going to go on to chapter 3, but chapter 3 also lends itself to topics or sections, because in chapter 3 of Titus, he begins by saying, remind them, in other words, all of those in chapter 2, be subject to rulers, authorities, to obey, be ready to every good work, speak evil of no one, be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. And then he continues on throughout the chapter, verse 9, avoid foolish disputes. Then he closes out in verse 12, just in four verses, sends the typical ending, send greetings, and these folks send greetings also. So it's just an admonition to Titus and the congregation where Titus is. So let's take a look at these again. Again, we begin with verse, the young men, is that what I read? Right. Likewise, young men. Young men. So in other words, the young men heed the attributes that are now going to be listed. So here's for you. And again, it's an easy outline just because it's pretty much for me, it was just a dictionary study. And many times I like that because when you look at definitions, you not only get the definition, but many times the application are right in the defining words of the word you're looking at. Now, I think that's the case here when you give the definition of the synonyms, then, I know what that means. So let's take the young men, exhort to be sober-minded. I had some part of this in our lesson this morning, but young men, be well-balanced in your state of mind. Young men, show some self-restraint, sober-minded. In other words, don't say everything that's on your mind. Also, I guess one definition is don't be goofy. Be seriously humorous. No, I gotta be sober minded. Okay. Next, he says, young men, I want you to be a pattern or example of good works. In other words, I want you to demonstrate your faith. I want you to show Christianity. In other words, in being even in sober-minded and some of these other things, let's see it. Give me a visual. Model it. But display so that others may see and copy. He said, wanting the young men to be a blueprint. Many of us use blueprints so that we make something else and we want to, whatever we're making, we follow the blueprint. Young men, he says, you be a blueprint for others. Walk the talk. So a pattern, an example. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, beginning of verse 11, Paul said, Timothy, I want you, just like he does Titus, I want you to command these things and teach. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example. Oh, that pattern, that visual, that display, that blueprint. Be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So young men, Titus, teach the young men. Doctrine, he adds, not only in your life, but there's something that I want you to display in doctrine. And again, we mentioned with these, some of these others he's mentioned before, life and doctrine go together. King James Version uses the word uncorruptness. New King James, integrity, I put in your notes. In other words, a life that's connected to your teaching. Again, it goes back to that display, that pattern, that model. Oh, it's for all of us. Gravity. Reverence. Display that you have proper respect for God's word and his teaching. Sincerity or incorruptibility. In other words, when it comes to doctrine and the way you live it in a pure way or something that's unmixed. Don't try to play both sides or straddle the fence. Let people know to whom you belong. You know, let people know by the way you live on whose side you're on. So in doctrine, showing. And in verse 8, he wants the young men to be have sound speech that cannot be condemned. So I just put, don't watch, you know, watch your language. Let the language you use and its content be wholesome, true, above reproach. Use language that cannot be censored or content that's biblical based. It should be obvious when you're around a group of people in your recreation or in your jobs, when they use language that's not appropriate or it's cussing and things like that, and you don't use those kinds of language, hopefully that you stand out and they recognize that you don't talk the way we do. And then he says, this is why, interesting phrase in the verse 8, so that he is, the King James says, of the contrary part. Yeah, there's others that are going to be in opposition to what Paul is saying. Titus, this is what I want you to teach. So that those who are contrary or opposite to what Paul is saying to Titus be ashamed. In other words, he's saying, Titus, teach the young men to not compromise the truth. So that the opposition will feel ashamed about their criticisms and their misdeeds. And they will, and the verse continues, so that they will not have anything evil to say of you. So you did not become like them in speech. You're not like them in conduct. Maybe even the places they go. Similar to the admonition in verse 5, where we want to live in such a way that the church is not blasphemed by others. Saying, oh, you're a member of the church, and look at what you say, or look what you do. So young men, that goes for all of us. Next, he mentions in the section of your notes, in verse 9, exhort the servants, the bondservants. Perhaps it would be those slaves who became Christians. Paul also mentioned the similar phrasing. In Ephesians chapter 6, he says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. In other words, your employers, I would think. Make it a practical application. Be obedient to your masters, your employers, according to the flesh. Do it with fear and trembling, with singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, he goes on to say in Ephesians. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart. Put your heart into it. With good will doing service as unto the Lord, not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Be a good employee. And even if you don't want to, you recognize, you say, my employer doesn't deserve it. Well, then you give him or her that well-received service, knowing that you're giving your obedience to God, the higher calling. means practice submission. Respect for the master's authority. It's a Christian duty. The next phrase after being obedient or subjection, well-pleasing. Oh, my. Well-pleasing on my job site? Yeah, let them see the difference in you. It means to comply. Be well-pleasing. Or just do your job. And think about it. If you were an employer, wouldn't you want that from your employees? Oh, yeah. That's right. But Paul is saying to Titus here to teach the servants, the employees. Yeah, that's what, if I was the employer, that's what I would want. So now he says, no, you be that because you're the servant now. And then an interesting phrase too, not answering again. Or answering back, one King James said, I think says, not gainsaying. I just put, don't be a pain. Just do your job. Don't be an instigator, rabble rouser among the troops. Don't rile the troops against the establishment of the authority on your job site. Don't be contentious. Do your job. Of course, we know that the next one, not pilfering, or purloining is a good King James word. In other words, don't embezzle, don't be light-fingered, don't pilfer, don't steal. It's an easy one. But show good fidelity. So he kind of takes the, after don't do this, do this. So, and you know what that means. If you're established fidelity, you're trustworthy. You prove yourself to be loyal. Means to be reliable, dependable. You show praiseworthy fidelity, meaning you're true. You're responsible to that which has been entrusted to your care. All that in infidelity. Yeah, teach, and that has to be taught. Now we've seen if you're an employer or you're an employee and you've seen others that don't measure up to this standard. And you've seen that habitual employee who may come in late or just slack off or take extra time during the breaks or just doesn't do the job. They don't set up or they don't clean up. Just something about it. And Paul says to Timothy, you teach the servants, this is what a good employee looks like. And then the reason, why would we want to do that? That they, I mean that employee, may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Again, like verse 5, working in such a way that the church or the Word of God is not blasphemed. Make people want what you have. Put in your notes, be an ornament to the doctrine. Make the doctrine look good. Add luster in your notes. Beautify the teaching. In other words, recommend the Word of God by the way that you work. That's what he's saying for all these employees. Because attitudes and actions, as you know, have consequences. And we want to put a good reflection on what we want to advertise, which is Christianity, and give God the glory. So employee. The last one in closing out the chapter, teaching us. everybody in the chapter, all those separate headings that he's been through. They're all determined by the Word of God because he mentions it in verse 10 and 11. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And so now these last verses, it says, teaching us. So because of what God has done for us, this is the response we should give back. So God has been very gracious and benevolent and kind and full of good works. So there's a response on our part. And so what God has done teaches us how to behave. And that's what he says in verse 12. Deny ungodliness. Don't rebel against God. Don't be ungodly. Deny worldly lusts. Next phrase. So So all that the world presents would take us away from God. No, deny that. You know, that cross goes up. No, no. You know, the warning bell should sound when the world calls. You know, that ding, 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 ding warning. Deny the ungodliness, deny the worldly lusts, the things, again, those things that would take you away from God. So now on the positive side, he said, this is what it should look like, and these things he said before in different language. Live soberly, righteously, godly. Toward self, toward others, toward God. In this present world, so I said, we need to do it now while we're living. I put the verse from Ecclesiastes in your notes. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might and while you're here, alive. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Oh, yeah, that's right. I have to do it now. Do it now while I'm on the job. Can't wait till afterlife. Then verse 13, he begins to close out the chapter, looking for that blessed hope. Yeah, why should I behave this way? You know, kind of, what's in it for me? What am I going to gain from this? Oh, there's a motivation. We do all this because we're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we want to live in a way that we will welcome the second coming. Think a phrase Orby used in his prayer this morning, right at the end. It was almost, help us to live in such a way. He didn't quite say it that we welcome the second coming, but live in such a way that we are found faithful and are granted that home above. Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. Fought a good fight. Yeah, fought. Finished my course. Kept the faith. Henceforth there laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. But not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. So we want to live this way so that we will welcome the second coming of Jesus. Ah. Then the very, very last thing he closes out in this chapter, these things speak and exhort. In other words, teach it once, teach it twice. Say it again, over and over again. And then rebuke with all authority. So urge and insist that one another adhere to this message that he's writing to Titus. So I just put in notes, a heavenly message. Teach it even when others look down on you. Or they may make light of the message. Or they may disregard it. But our obligation is to live it, to stay on God's side. So that's the lesson this evening. Next Lord's Day evening, again, is our devotion time. We don't use the sermon format in our worship. We have songs and prayers and Bible reading and communion, and then followed by a potluck. So 2 weeks from tonight, I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't looked that far yet. Like I said, I may just do chapter 3 just to continue the study. We'll see. No, however I'm led. In other words, that means whatever I think is easiest and the quickest. We'll see. All right, but it'll be needful. Not to you, to me. All right, let us, always when we conclude a lesson, we sing a song of invitation. We said song this morning, a song of exhortation, a song of admonition. Maybe one here this evening that's now a member of the New Testament church. You've not been baptized for remission of sins. That may be on your, may be your desire, your resolve. We can accomplish that. We want to ask brethren for strength of prayers while we're gathered here. And we can honor that request. So let's stand together. If that's your resolve, if that's your decision, you want to respond in a public way, just come and have a seat beside me while singing.